right, let's prepare ourselves to receive God's word. What date is it today? 20th of Jan 2019. What does 2019 mean? New year. It's 2019 years AD. That's what it is. There's BC and there's AD. All right? As we've entered into the new year, 2019, we are getting closer to Christ's return. That's what it is. 2019 years have passed, and we are waiting for the return of Jesus. Are you waiting for the return of Jesus? I tell you, this world is nice, but I tell you, when Jesus returns, it'll be perfect. Okay, we're waiting for Jesus' return. And in Matthew chapter 24, the disciples asked Jesus this very same question. Turn to Matthew chapter 24 and look at verse 3. As Jesus, 24 verse 3, Matthew, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Very quickly, just to tell you something. Time is not circular. You know, some philosophies believe there's, you know, yesterday, today, it's all a circle. We don't know anything. But the Bible says time is linear. Time has passed, is going forward, it's heading to an end. And that end is when Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will return and the world will end. Those who have put their faith in him will live with him forever and ever in a perfect heaven. All right? Those who have not trusted in Jesus will be judged for their sins and will be sent to an eternity without Christ, which is another word for hell. And that's the most horrible thing that can happen to anybody, is going to hell. You know, we often hear people say, hey, go to hell. Have you heard that? Have you said that? Yes, you know, we just say it casually. But I tell you, the worst thing, turn to your neighbor and say, the worst thing that can happen to anybody is to go to hell. Because once you go to hell, there is no hope, no chance of anything changing. You see, if you fail in school, that's a, you know, you fail a class, you have to repeat a year, you have hope. There are many people who fail and then top their class. Great. You have hope. You know, you break a leg, you have hope. It's going to get healed. We have hope for everything on this earth. But once we die, the Bible says, it is in Hebrews 9:27, it is destined for man to die once. There's no dying again and again. Once, and then to face judgment. So the worst thing that can happen to somebody is going to hell. Anyway, so here the disciples come to Jesus and tell us when you're going to come back. And then Jesus in chapter 24 and 25 goes on to a long discourse about the end of time. And we'll be looking at some things there. But before we get into that, shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth, Lord. Your word is spirit, Lord. Your word is life-changing. It is living. I pray that as we read your word, as I proclaim your word, the anointing of your Holy Spirit would be upon me and would be upon us. Would you open our minds, Lord? Would you open our hearts to receive your word? Lord, may it bear fruit. May our lives change as we obey it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, what does Jesus tell us about the end of time? So we'll quickly look at a few things. The first thing he tells us is this. He says that before he comes and the end of the world takes place, there are going to be some things. There are going to be, and look at verse 4 onwards. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, earthquakes, tsunamis in various places, and all these are the beginning signs of birth." So what Jesus is saying is, there are, you know, we had Jennifer who just gave birth. We have Newton on the way. And, you know, Chris and Jennifer, what are they waiting for? They're waiting for the little pains to start. The moment the pains start, okay, they call them contractions, is it? All right? And, you know, and the moment those things happen, you say, okay, the baby's coming soon, sometimes very soon, as in the case of Jude. 40 minutes, and it's, you know, he came. But for other people, it may be a longer time. So Jesus is saying the same thing. Birth pains are not the arrival of the baby. They are the signs that you're closer to the arrival of the baby. So wars, famines, earthquakes, tsunamis, all these things are signs that Jesus is coming soon. Every month, every day, every year is 1 month, 1 day, 1 year closer to his coming. All right? So one thing is calamities will happen. Kingdoms come, go, wars, we know these things. But there are certain things we can look for with surety, knowing we are much, much closer. Okay? There's something that needs to definitely happen. And in verse 14, Jesus gives us a clue. And he says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. So Jesus says, if you're looking for a sign, this needs to happen. That means the gospel of Jesus needs to be preached to every people group, to every tribe, to every tongue, every language, every culture. Yeah, the gospel of Jesus is not just for Christians, people who are born Christians. It's for everybody. Turn to somebody and say, everybody. Everybody. All right? Jesus came to save everybody on the cross, not just some people in that sense. He came, and Revelation tells us that, you know, gives us a picture of heaven, that there will be innumerable people from every tribe, every language, standing before the throne and worshiping Jesus. So Jesus says, till this happens, the end won't come. Okay? So an aside there, if we want the end to come, our job is to proclaim the gospel to everybody. Okay, the next thing. Now, some people have tried to say, you know, Jesus is coming in the year 2000, 2010, this in September, because of this and because of that. Have you heard people try to predict this? Yeah, I know a man many years ago when I was a student in Cyprus, and this guy was an old guy with beard and all that, and he says, you know, the Lord is coming soon. I've bought lots of tin cans of stuff, and people have done that. They've sold their possessions. They've gone off somewhere waiting for the Lord. Should we do that? All right, we'll find out. Y'all don't seem too certain. All right, so let's see what Jesus says. In verse 36, he says, no one, that's Matthew 24, verse 36, no one knows about that day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So this was while Jesus was on earth. And he said, listen, don't listen to anybody who says, I know the day, I know the month, I know the time. Jesus is coming next week or next month. He says, nobody knows the day. All right? Turn to somebody. Previously I said, say everybody. Now say nobody. Nobody. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. We don't know. So don't try to guess. There was one guy who was a little clever, and he says, you know, Jesus is coming in September 2009, whatever, you know, 2012. They said, but Jesus said, nobody knows the day or the hour. He says, I'm not telling you the day or the hour. I'm telling you the month and the year. It's a joke. That's not true. He was wrong. Jesus didn't come then. All right? So nobody knows. So we shouldn't even try to guess. Okay? But we do know something about how he will come. Have you ever been robbed? Somebody broke into your house and took something? Okay? Maybe while you were asleep. You know, praise God if it's not happened. It's wonderful. It's the most horrible thing. Okay? Imagine you're staying, you're at home, you're asleep, in the middle of the night, the thief comes in, opens the door, opens your safe, takes away all your gold and everything else. You wake up the next morning, you're horrified. All right? Now, had you known the thief was coming, what would you do? You'd be awake, you'd be alert, get your gun out or whatever, you know, or you'd be alert. You'd be able to call the police or whatever, right? So Jesus says this. He says, look at verse 42. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But if understand that if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken too. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So one thing is certain, is Jesus says, he's coming. We don't know the date and the time, but he says, we don't have to just do nothing. He says, you need to be ready. You need to be ready. And he'll come at a time when we don't expect him. And then in chapter 25, Jesus, and the end of 24, and Jesus gives us three parables that talk about his kingdom and that speak about his coming. All right? The parables are about the wise and the foolish virgins, the 10 virgins. It's about the parable of the talents, where three servants were given a sum of money and to do something with. And the last one is the parable of the sheep and the goats. And in each of these times, Jesus says, look at chapter 25, verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like this. So what Jesus is saying is, he talks about his coming. He talks about his coming kingdom. And he says, this is what my coming is going to be like. So he gives us clues. Okay, it's not just three. But if you look at chapter 20, 24, verse 45 onwards, there's another example there. So four times, Jesus is giving us a little talk with examples about his coming. Do you think it is important? Do you think it is important? Jesus is saying, not once, twice, four times. Parents, you know, when you give your instructions to children, and when you tell them once, it's important, but twice, three, four times, it's very, very important. All right? Don't put your finger in the switch. Very important. All right. So four times Jesus is giving instructions about his coming. So let's see what is he talking about. Okay, so the title of my message this morning is Preparing for Jesus' Return. How can we prepare for Jesus' return? And we'll look quickly at these things. So the first one is the parable of the 10 virgins. We have five, all these 10 virgins had lamps, and they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. Now, that's a Jewish custom. You know, in India, we have different marriage customs. You know, waiting for the bridegroom to come, put him on a horse and all these things. Here, this was a different custom where they had lamps, and they were waiting through the night at any time for the bridegroom to come. And five virgins were wise. Not only had they had lamps, but they had extra oil, because they didn't know what time the bridegroom will come. So they were prepared. The other five just had lamps. They didn't have spare oil, you know. And at midnight, the cry in verse 6, is at midnight the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out and meet him. And all these virgins woke up. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. And they said, sorry, we can't give you any, because then there won't be enough for us. And they said, why don't you go to the market, buy some oil. And these five went. And when they went, the bridegroom came. But while they were away, verse 10, on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. All right? So really what we see is you had five who were prepared, five who were not prepared. And the result of the non-preparation was they were shut out from the presence of the bridegroom. Who is the bridegroom? Jesus. He's coming back. That's it. Okay? So here's a very serious thing. Are you prepared for the coming of Jesus? All right? And a very simple thing I want to ask you is this. If Jesus were to come this afternoon, it's now 12:20, 12:45, if Jesus were to come, are you prepared for his coming? Have you put your faith in Jesus? Have you believed in him as the only Savior of the world, the only God? Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, salvation is found in no other name. There is no other name given to men by which we may be saved. That's the name of Jesus. All right? Are you prepared? This morning, if you have not put your faith in Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Where you're saying, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross, you rose from the dead, you are the only God, there is none other. You died for my sins. I trust in you. I want to follow you. And if you've done that, the next thing you need to do is say, I want to get baptized. All right? And follow him. So that's the virgins, five wise and the five foolish. And the Bible calls them. He says, the ones who prepared were wise. The ones who did not prepare were foolish. Okay, then Jesus, one illustration is not enough. Jesus then goes on in verse 14. And he tells them the parable of the talents. And he says, there was a man, again, it will be like this. What's again? The kingdom of heaven is like this. Another example. So, with the virgins, it says, you must be prepared. Turn to somebody and say, prepared. Prepared. That's what you got to be. Now, let's see what it is with the parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants together and entrusted his property to them. Okay? So here's a rich man. He's going away on a long journey. In those days, you didn't have Air India or Jet Airways or anything. Okay? They would have to go on a donkey or walking or horseback. And he went to a far country. And he says, before he went, he took his property and he called his servants. And it says that to one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. Okay? What is a talent? A talent roughly was equal to 6,000. It's several 20 years of wages. That's a lot of money. So it's lakhs of money. All right? So one was given, 50 lakhs. Another one was given 20 lakhs. And the other one was given 10 lakhs. And says, listen, whose money was it? The rich man, the man. Okay, but his money, these are his servants. He's saying, I'm giving you these things, each according to his ability. So there were it wasn't equality. It was, this guy's the smartest, 50 lakhs to him. All right. And he gave them some instructions. The man would, okay. And of course, the expectation was, what you've got, you put it to work. And so that's what happened. So the man, verse 16, who had received the 5 talents, went at once to put his money to work and got 5 more. Wow. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. So the first 2 guys were sharp businessmen. They made 100% profit and they went immediately. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. He didn't do anything with it. It says, after a long time, the master came back. And this is what he did. He came and he wanted to settle accounts with them. And he called the servants, said, okay, I gave you 5, I gave you 2, I gave you 1 talent. What did you do with it? The one who had 5 says, master, I did 5 more. Verse 21, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The second one with 2 talents came and he says, sir, I made 2 more. And the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now, notice something. The master is saying, you've been faithful with a few things. He'd been given 5 talents, which is much more than 50 lakhs. Is that little or lot? It's a lot. But God says, the master says, I've given you, you've been faithful with little. I'm going to give you much more. All right? So, what we can learn from this is this. When Jesus returns, he's going to demand an accounting of the gifts, of the abilities, of the talents, of the treasures, of the opportunities he has given us. All right? We're saved, we're in the kingdom, but he's looking and saying, what are you doing with what I've given you? Okay? And we see what happens here. So, and the expectation is, if you are faithful with what has been given, he's going to give you much more, not just on this earth, but in the kingdom to come. That's the expectation. The one with the 1 talent, what did he do? He didn't do anything with it. He took it. He buried it in the ground and the master came. He says, here, take it back. And the master said, what did he call him? He said, you wicked servant. Verse 26. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. Okay? He says, and then he goes on to say, he says, why didn't you at least put it in the bank and get some interest? And then he says, 28, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So really what we see here is there is a severe punishment on the person who did nothing. He was cut off. Now, you know, theologians have looked at this and says it refers to people who are not yet believers. All right? But really what we need to take heed from this story is that Jesus expects us to put the things he has given us to work. We've got to be productive. So the virgins prepared, the workmen here, the servants were productive. What is it that God has given you? Maybe it's a voice to sing. Maybe it's every talent, every gift, whatever it is. God has given us something. Okay? Don't look at somebody else and say, you know, she can sing so well, or he's so good at maths, I'm no good with numbers. Don't grumble about those things. Just say, Lord, I thank you for what you've given me. And say, Lord, what do you want me to do what I've given you? You know, help me to be productive, to do something with it. Turn to somebody and say, do something. Do something. Do something. God wants us to do something. So it could be something small, it could be something big, but we start small. Okay, we start small. And so Jesus is giving us a warning, saying, listen, be productive with what has been given you. What are you doing to be productive? Whatever that talent is, whatever that skill is. I mean, Jesus said, even if you give a glass of water, you won't miss out on your reward. Okay? We can do that so much more. Okay, let's jump to the third one, the sheep and the goats. Again, Jesus is pressing in the point about his return. All right? He spoke about the virgins. He spoke about the workers, the servants, and now he talks about sheep and goat. Goats. Verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on his left. All right, this is again talking about the certainty of Jesus is coming. He is coming back. He will judge every man, woman, and child who has ever lived. That's the great judgment. And he'll separate people, sheep on the right, goats on the left. And this is what will happen. Verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. There are huge rewards in store. Eternity, kingdoms. And then he says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came after me. So Jesus lists out five different things there. Okay? Hungry, thirsty, clothes, prison, and sickness. And he says, and the people on the right, the sheep will say, Lord, when did we? Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The Lord, the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So what Jesus is saying is when we feed somebody, when we give somebody something to drink. And he's just listing five or six things there. But don't limit yourself to that. Okay, it's anything that we do to bless somebody. Jesus says, when you do it, you're doing it for me. And there are rewards for that. Okay, and again, the end of it is the people who didn't do anything, all right, he says in verse 44, they will all also answer. This is the people who didn't do anything. Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Okay, these people did not perform. Turn to somebody and say, perform. Perform. All right? If you are truly a follower of Jesus, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you will perform. All right? If there is no desire in you to do good, you've got to say, am I really born again? Do I really have the Holy Spirit in me? Okay? And that's what it is. He said, the righteous will do these things and they won't even know they're doing them. It's just happening. They'll wait, Lord, when did we give you food or clothe you? And so forth. So, to summarize, this is what I would say is this. As we begin 2019, we are 1 year closer to the coming, to the return of Jesus, to His coming back to His kingdom. How? We don't know the day. We don't know the time. He says, you be prepared, you be productive, you perform. We've got to be ready, all right? Now, in order to usher in the kingdom, he says, the gospel needs to be preached to the whole world. That's one thing that we need to do. And the other thing he says is, listen, there are things to be done. Our tagline at Word of Grace is enjoying God, making friends, and changing lives. All right, let's say that together. Enjoying God, making friends, changing lives. Okay, we need to live in such a way. My job as your pastor is to stir you, to provoke you, to teach you to live in such a way that when Jesus comes, you will be prepared, you'll be productive, and you will have performed well. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. All right? Now, I want to throw a few things that we can do. In enjoying God, you know, what it's talking about is having a deep relationship with Jesus. 2018 is gone. We've entered 2019. Okay? Is your relationship with the Lord deepening? Is it increasing? What can you do to increase that? Does it mean this year you're going to say, okay, I'm going to read the Bible every day. I missed it last year. I'm going to read it every day. I'm going to pray every day. Maybe I'm going to fast once a week. So you're taking steps to grow in your relationship with Jesus. Well, you do that. You know, commit yourself to something right now. What are you going to do? You know, I want to highly recommend the YouVersion app. We can have all sorts of apps on our phones. You know, there are apps that tell you how long you've slept, how long you've walked, how long you walked in your sleep also. So there are all these different apps. Okay, but one app you need to have is a YouVersion app that will track whether you've read the Word, whether you've read it daily. You can highlight things. You can share what you've read with others. It is fantastic. Okay, get hold of it so that you will enjoy God. You want to be prepared and say, Lord, I'm waiting for the bridegroom to come. I want to go deeper in my relationship with Jesus. Part of enjoying God is being here for the Sunday meeting. You know, this morning when I had to go for this society meeting, my heart was torn. I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to miss worship here. I said, oh, Lord, I don't want to go there. I want to be here. Okay, and that's the kind of hunger we need to have for God's presence, for God's people. Do you have that hunger? And I want to say to you, if you're coming late on a Sunday, it's a sign you don't have that hunger. Will you change that in 2019 and say, Lord, I want to chase after you. I, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs after you. I'm going to come not at 10:45, 10:30. I'll come earlier. I want to get a good seat. I want to be there ready for you. All right? Enjoying God. The second thing is making friends. You know, we all have friends, but it's wonderful to have friends here. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Where John writes about love. And this is the character of God, loving. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Right? God's very nature is love, and God wants that love to be demonstrated here. Okay, God says, by this all men you will know you are my disciples if you love one another. How do we demonstrate that love? We demonstrate that love by, first of all, making friends in the church. That's important. Okay? We got to love our brothers and sisters. That's of high value. One of the things we've advocated and said is give Sunday afternoon lunches to Jesus. All right? How many meals do you have in the week? Okay, 7 days. How many meals do you have every day? Some three, some four. All right? Let's take an average of three. That's 21 meals in the week. I'm saying, you know, we live at different places. Far away, we work different shifts, different timings. But Sunday afternoon, most of us come here. And my exhortation to you is, will you give those 2 hours after the meeting to eat with somebody here so that you can develop that relationship with your brothers and your sisters? That's a sign of showing love. Maybe you can do this 2 times in the month to start with. All right, it's a rich, rewarding experience. Either you can have them at your home, take them out to a restaurant, but spend those 2 hours out of how many hours in the week? I don't know, 7 into 24, so many hours in the week. Just give those 2 hours and invest them in loving people here. All right, you'll see it'll bear rich fruit in your life, because Jesus said, he who says, I love God but hates his brother is a liar. Right? So we're investing in loving one another. Also, be part of a gym this year. Say, I want to be part of a gym. I want to grow in the Lord and know people in a small group setting. Another thing you can do to make friends is be part of one of the different serving teams we have. Set up, clear up, hospitality, the DLP team. Because we demonstrate our love for one another by serving. All right? So if you're not serving, you're not performing. That's what it is. All right? So can we do that? Can we make sure we are plugged into the gym, plugged into serving, eating with somebody after lunch on a Sunday? Okay, the last thing is enjoying God, making friends, and changing lives. Jesus will only come back when the gospel goes to the ends of the earth. Till then, he's not going to come. We have a responsibility to take the gospel out to the lost. And Jesus said, pray for laborers. He said, the harvest is plentiful. All right? Will you be a laborer in the Lord's field? There's no greater joy than to see somebody escape from hell and go to heaven. Wow. That is the greatest thing you can do. Will you do that? Will you say, this year, I'm going to befriend people who don't know Christ, and I'm going to tell them about Jesus. Your job is only to tell. It's his job to change their hearts. You cannot change anybody's heart. Okay? Your job is just to say, to tell them. And the IDT is a place to come to where you'll be built up in the faith, where you'll know, we'll be trained on how to share the gospel and to tell people. Because that is what Jesus came. He says, the Son of God came to seek and save the lost. Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's our primary calling. And so, enjoying God, making friends, we want to see changed lives. This 2019, will you take a minute right now to say, what are the things that I can change in my life? How am I going to deepen my relationship with God? How can I deepen my relationship with my brothers and sisters here? How can I take some steps to reach the lost? You know, there's somebody I had in my mind last year, and I told him, hey, we need to catch up for coffee and tea. And I see him every other day in the building. But it's been over a year, and I have not made the time to meet him. Just like that, you may have people. Can we say, we're going to give some time to meet people in the world who don't know Jesus? Because you can be changing the eternal destiny of an entire family and the generations to come, you know, from hell to heaven. Wow, what a privilege we've got. We've got the good news of the gospel. Somebody shared the good news with you. Will you now share it with somebody else? Shall we pray this morning? Let's stand together.